This is the word of the Lord found in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Starting with verse 5 and reading through verse 14. 2 Samuel, verse 16. Chapter 16, verses 5 through 14. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. This is an occasion later in the life of David. He has been the king of all of Israel for many years now. And yet, it's one of those very hard times in his life. He's on the run again, even though he's an old man. The reason that he's on the run is that one of his sons, who's also a grown man at this time, named Absalom, has won the hearts of the nation of Israel. And Absalom's purpose, once having gained that power, is to slay his father and take David's place on the throne of Israel. And since David is not the one who's the most popular now, in a political and a military sense, he's very weak. And the takeover by Absalom has been very swift. Absalom has won the hearts of the men of Israel, proclaimed himself king in the city of Hebron, which is not all that far from Jerusalem. When David gets the word, he barely has time to tell the folks in his household and those loyal to him in Jerusalem, we have to leave or else we're going to be killed. And I'm going to leave 10 women here to keep the house so that it won't be abandoned or looted or anything, just to keep the place. And we've got to get out of here quick. And so David and those loyal to him leave the city of Jerusalem heading east so they can head toward the River Jordan and maybe cross the River Jordan and leave the country altogether till they figure out what to do. And that's what they end up doing, is crossing Jordan out of Israel. And so heading east, as you go out of Jerusalem, the path there takes you across a brook. Kidron is the name of that brook. And up over a mountain called the Mount of Olives. And so David and his household cross that brook and go up the Mount of Olives. And they're very sad. It's understandable. David has got his head covered in grief and is barefoot. And as they climb the Mount of Olives, he and his household are weeping for the sadness of what's coming about. And then when they come past the top of the hill, they meet one of Saul's old servants, Ziba, who's been taking care of Mephibosheth. That is Saul's grandson by Jonathan. And Ziba brings some refreshments, something to eat for the people. And David speaks with him a while and then keeps going. And as he continues this journey, the events that we've just read have come out. This man that is also from the house of Saul, the first king of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, comes out against David. This man's name is Shimei. And as he comes out to see David and what people are with him, and in addition to David and those that were in the household, David's got some warriors with him. This man, Abishai, is one of his nephews. Three of David's nephews were very much involved in helping David in a military sense. David had an older sister named Zeruiah. And Zeruiah had three mighty sons, Joab, Abishai, and Azahel. Azahel was killed in the civil war back when David was young, having to fend off the forces of Saul. And Joab, the older one, had been the general or the captain of the host for David's forces for some time. But probably the most famous and mighty of the warriors was the middle son, Abishai. He's the one that snuck into the camp with David when Saul was trying to catch him and helped David when he took his spear and his bottle of water right from Saul's head and escaped out of the camp. Abishai was one numbered among the 30 mighty men that sat at David's table. So Abishai was a fellow you didn't mess with. He was a very mighty warrior. And among those that were with David, he was one of them. And so this man Shimei comes out cursing against David, throwing rocks, throwing dust at David and the folks that are round about him. And Shimei's problem with David is that Shimei's family was the house of Saul. And his relative had died in battle, and David was the one named the next king. So Shimei doesn't like David because David's on the throne rather than his kinfolks. So he comes out cursing and throwing rocks and throwing stones and insulting David, calling him a bloody man, a wicked man of Belial, and one who he doesn't think should be on the throne. Well, David and Abishai are there, and Abishai has heard just about enough about Uncle David. And so he said, why should this dead dog, that's what he thinks of Shimei, why should he curse you? Why should he curse the king? Let me, give me permission, and I'll just go slice his head off. And David said, no. He says, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? That didn't mean he didn't like Abishai. He just was basically saying, nephew, I'm not with you in this thing. Now, this is not what I want. This is not what I approve. Don't go do it. And then David says this, and the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Notice there that it's David that claims that the Lord has said this to Shimei. It's not the Holy Spirit. That is, we don't have here from the writer that God said to Shimei, go curse David. These are David's words. And I want to stop and emphasize that to you. In the Bible, when you read something, read the context around it so that you can tell who's speaking, who's being spoken to, and what are the events around it, so that you don't get mixed up. Now, I don't mean to say that to make you think the Bible is something very complex. I'm just saying that so that when you read something in the Bible and it puzzles you, read that which is around it. Let me give you a clear example. In the book of Job, chapter 2, we read the words, curse God and die. All right? If you want to take that out of context, you say, well, that's in the Bible. Curse God and die. So should I curse God and die? Well, of course not. If you go read the context there, the reason that occurs in the book of Job is Job has just lost all his sheep, all his camels, all his donkeys, all his children, and all of his health. And his wife comes to him and says, do you still hold fast your integrity? curse God and die. And Job says, you're speaking as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we receive good of the Lord's hand and not evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips, nor charge God foolishly. So what this curse God and die is not the Holy Spirit telling us what we ought to do. It's the Holy Spirit recording what Job's wife was telling him to do. Does that make sense? So it's not instruction to us as what we should do. It's instruction to us to what happens sometimes to good people when they're in extreme situation and people are giving them bad advice. Does that make sense? So it's the Holy Spirit inspiring it, but it's not the Holy Spirit commanding it. All right? And here we have a similar situation. We don't have where it says, and God told Shimei, curse David. What we have is David saying, the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Well, David's not always right, is he? In fact, David did some grievously wrong things. And some of the grievously wrong things David did set up the environment for where he is now. And I just want to talk about those real briefly. You remember that there was a time when the armies of Israel had besieged the capital city of the nation of the children of Ammon. That city's name was Rabbah. And so it was a time when kings went forth to battle. And David stayed home in Jerusalem, and Joab, the captain of his host, Abishai's brother, went to Rabbah to lead the men, and they surrounded the city and fought the battle. David stayed home, and as you know, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he brought about events to get her husband, Uriah, killed in the battle at Rabbah. So David did something very grievous, and God sent the prophet Nathan to David to illustrate how wrong what he had done was, and to pronounce that God was displeased, and David recognized he had done something awful, and he said that his sin was greater than he could bear. He knew that what he deserved was death and casting away from the presence of God, let alone to lose his throne. And Nathan had the word of God, and the word of God was, the Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So God in grace left David alive on the throne, and God's love being everlasting, God continued to love David in spite of the fact that David deserved everlasting flames. That's grace. And when God said, thou shalt not die, the Lord hath also put away thy sins, the Lord put away David's sins as being Jesus Christ, who hath been made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That didn't mean God just took David's sins and forgot about them. You know, I really like you a lot, David, so let's just not even think about it. No, God is going to see that that sin is paid for, and so the way it got paid for was when Jesus Christ went to the cross. So David did not die for his sins. David did not lose the throne for his sins, and David did not go to the lake of fire for his sins. But did God just say, let's forget about this? No. God chastised David severely. He says, you've done this thing in secret. But he says, I'll give your wives to another in the sight of all Israel. He said, and there shall be a sword in your house that shall not depart. That is, there's going to be turmoil and there's going to be violence in your family, and it's going to be in chastisement for the sword that you brought into the family of Uriah. And so David and Bathsheba were expecting a child, and the child was born. The child apparently was a little toddler, a little boy. The child died. David mourned greatly. But then he went on about the business of living, and he comforted Bathsheba, and they had another little boy. Named him Solomon. The Lord loved Solomon. Solomon would be the one to succeed David on the throne of Israel. But that wasn't the end. The sword still was in the house of David. And after some times past, David's oldest son, Amnon, raped his half-sister, Tamar. And it was grievous, and David was angry about it. But the Bible doesn't record that he did anything about it. You know how that might go. The Bible doesn't say specifically, but when you're wrestling with your own sins, it gets hard sometimes to do things about others. And so we find that Amnon received no punishment that is recorded in Scripture, and yet he didn't marry his half-sister Tamar. He didn't take care of her. In fact, he cut her off. Well, Tamar had a full brother. Amnon was her half-brother, but she had a full brother, one of the sons of David. His name was Absalom. And Absalom was a man of action and anger. He was an extremely attractive man, easy to follow. People loved him. He was one that you enjoyed looking at and talking to. His hair was so beautiful and so heavy that they weighed it and pulled it once a year. And it was a tremendous head of hair. And so Absalom bided his time for a while. And then one day when he had everything set up right, he had Amnon, the oldest son that had forced his sister, slain. And so there again, one of David's sons was murdered, and it died and was murdered by his own half-brother. And so Absalom, having committed murder, fled and was in exile a while, and eventually David brought him back out of exile. And when he did, Absalom began gathering this political support until he had a great deal of support and took the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem from his father. And that's why David is in such a weak position now. That's why he's walking over the Mount of Olives and this man Shimei comes out throwing rocks and throwing stones at him. What's the point of all this history? Is that many times we go through very difficult passages in our life. Some of it is because of the sin of others, and some of it is because of the sins we ourselves have committed. Which was the case here? Both. Because David had committed the sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, the sword was in his house. Part of this indeed was his transgression against the Lord. And yet Absalom himself was responsible to the Lord to honor his father and mother. And here Absalom, in his anger over what was done or wasn't done against people he loved in the past, is now sinning against God by sinning against his father. So David now is suffering both because of the sins of others and because of his own sin. And in the middle of this, as David deals with this, he continues to go on living. Notice, David didn't just sit in Jerusalem and said, you know, I've got this coming to me. I did so wrong. I might as well give up. So I'm going to stay here and die, and everybody in my household is going to die with me. No. In spite of his sin and the trouble that came upon him, David went on living and doing the best he could for his loved ones. Absalom's going to be here any minute. We need to leave. And so off he went. Also, as he went, David committed himself in the time of his chastisement into the hands of the Lord. While he went up the Mount of Olives on the other side there, the two high priests came to him, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They knew David loved to be near the Ark of the Covenant. That was the symbol of the Lord's presence. So they brought the Ark of the Covenant out to David. No doubt they remembered how he had danced the day that the Ark of the Covenant came into Jerusalem. And so trying to encourage him, plus this would be something that might help David politically. Here's the king and the Ark's with him, must mean God's with him. Some people think like that, you know. And so the Ark might help him out. So Zadok and Abiathar, the two high priests, are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, or having some of the other priests carry it out there on its staves out to David. And David sees it and he says, take the Ark back to Jerusalem. He said, if the Lord delights in me, that is, if the Lord's going to see me through this thing and bless me, he will bring me back to it. But if not, behold, I am in his hand. Let him do with me as seemeth him good. Can you see the balance in this? David is not giving up and doing nothing. Oh, the Lord's going to do with me what he wants to, so I'm just going to sit here and let it happen. He's not doing that. And yet David is not trying to wrestle events in his favor, including the worship of God. He sees himself, though he's acting, in the hand of the Lord. Can you and I get that kind of balance in our lives? That we see ourselves in the hand of the Lord, who loves us more than we love ourselves, but we are willing to take action when the Lord bids us to and when need arises. Doesn't that seem like a good balance to you? Somebody that says it's in the Lord's hand and just goes passive and does nothing, that doesn't seem to be what's in this book to me. Somebody that's ready to act and do something and I'm going to make it happen and not even think about the Lord, that doesn't seem to be in this book to me. Somebody that acts according to what the Bible approves is somebody who realizes they're in the hand of the Lord and they're ready to act on His commandments. I mean, isn't that what Paul said when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus? Who art thou, Lord? You know, he realized this is the Lord. I'm in his hand. And the Lord said, I'm Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But what's the next thing the Apostle Paul asked? Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? He says, I need to take some action. Lord, what is it? What action would please you? And so there, David is seeing himself in the hand of the Lord. And after he says that to the high priest, you see what he continues to do. He learns that the best counselor in Israel, Ahithophel, has gone over to Absalom. If you start reading all the who's related to who in the Bible, you find out a reason maybe why. Ahithophel is Bathsheba's granddad. Okay? Has his house been hurt and caused problem by David? Yes, it has. And he's the smartest guy in Israel. Whatever Ahithophel says, it's going to work. That's what the Bible, that's what the Holy Spirit tells us. That he's so smart that whatever he says, if you do what he says, it's going to come out to your advantage. And Ahithophel goes over to the side of Absalom. And David prays a prayer and he says, oh Lord, defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Bring it to foolishness. Sure enough, that comes out. Right after he prays that prayer, a friend of his comes up on the Mount of Olives and says, David, I'm going with you. His name is Hushai. And David says, Hushai, if you go with me, you'll just be a burden. You're not ready for this wilderness life here. You go back into the court of Absalom and see what kind of good you can do me there. Hushai goes back to the court of Absalom. When the counsel of Ahithophel is given, Hushai counsels something different, and Absalom does what Hushai says instead of what Ahithophel says, and David gets away. Can you see David is going on not only praying, but he's also giving counsel and asking for help. So the reason I mention that is David, yes, he sinned grievously. David was a recipient of God's grace. David was a recipient of God's chastisement. But during that chastisement, David lived in such a way that included seeing himself in God's hand, acting in such a way that it would benefit his household, and giving good counsel and asking for help. And now I come to this last text here. David, while he's being chastised, while he's going through this problem, is a man that forgives. And so he bids Abishai, let this man Shimei go. He's throwing dirt at us. He's cursing us. The Lord's told him to curse us. Well, I think David was wrong there, but there is this much right. The Lord had suffered Shimei to curse him, didn't he? Might not have caused him to curse him, but he was allowing him to curse him, wasn't he? That much can be said, because Shimei was out there cursing him. And so he said, let it go. And then he said there, And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." There, David was feeling like a failure as a father, wasn't he? You know, I have felt this feeling before. Those of you that are dads, maybe you've felt it. Being a father has been a blessing in my life. It really has. For 28 years, I have just been amazed at the blessing my children are to me. They are. And what a wonderful experience. But many times over those 28 years, I have felt to be a failure in that role. More so, I'll say, in later years than in early years. And yet, as David was going through this, what must he have felt? This was not a case of some disagreements. This was not a case of some minor disobedience. Absalom had taken his throne and was now seeking to take his life. Can you imagine feeling that? Can you imagine what David is going through? There's no winning in this. Either I lose my throne and my life, or my son loses his throne and his life. How can this come out any good? And in this feeling to be a failure as a father, he can see so many missteps he took himself. Why did I do that? Why did I transgress against the holy law of God and then come upon this? But while he's going through all this feeling of God is chastising me, I have done wrong, I have failed in being a father to Absalom, I'm in trouble. Still, the point that I want to make to you is David is going on living. He's not giving up. And as he goes on living, he's living as being in the hand of God. And as he does that, he goes on thinking about other people. And as he goes on thinking about other people, he acts in forgiveness. What is the forgiveness here? Did he forget that Shimei threw dirt and rocks at him? No. The forgiveness here is he's got somebody that very easily can go take Shimei's head off. He can stop this dust and rocks just like that. It's no problem for him to get even with Shimei. If he wanted to, he could have Shimei taken captive and brought to wherever he's hiding out and have dust and rocks dumped on Shimei for 2 days before he has him put to death. He is able to do this and he doesn't. Why? Because he's forgiving Shimei. Why? Because he thinks it will be according to God's will. Now you may encounter hard times in life. Some of it may be in chastisement for things that you've done wrong. Or you may go through a hard patch in your life because of something someone else has done wrong. We suffer for both things, don't we? And that's why this example shows both. It shows that it was David that caused the sword to come into his house. He had no one else to blame for that. And yet it was Absalom who was now wielding this sword, and Absalom was responsible to God to honor his father as well as his mother, and he wasn't doing it. So is this David's sin or Absalom's sin? Yes. And sometimes we may be going through events that are because of both or because of either. And yet, as we go through those, let's remember some things. The Lord hath put away thy sin. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Those of you that know deep down inside that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there's a reason for that. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. If that's something that you know to be true, it's not something you figured out and chosen to be true. It's something that is true that God has revealed to you. And how has he revealed it to you? By dwelling inside of you. The reason you know, even if you have some doubts about your own election, if you have some doubts about your own regeneration, you may have some doubts about glory to come, You may have some doubts, but if you know this man Jesus Christ, described in the Gospels, is the Son of the living God, the reason you know that is because God dwells in you, and you dwell in God, and that ought to give you some hope. You ought to be able to take the words of Nathan the prophet and apply it to yourself. The Lord hath put away thy sins. Thou shalt not die. And in this case, it means the second death. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to the grave, the funeral home and the grave. We're going there unless the Lord comes back real soon. But as far as being cast away from the presence of God in the lake of fire, not you, brother and sister, because of God's grace. So let's remember that. But then as we go through the chastisement, continue to remember that as God chastises you, He does it out of love, and you're in His hand. As you go through it, remember, you've got to go on living. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit living. Do what's necessary for the good of those you love, as well as your own good. And as you go through these things, continue to help and ask for help. As David communicated with Hushai, and it became an answer to prayer. And as you go through these things, you be one who forgives. Now, if you're going to read the story of Shimei, I'll need to say that as David died and Solomon was sitting on the throne, he called Solomon to him and said, "Son, watch out for Shimei. You know what he did to me. Don't let his hoary head go down to the grave in peace." That is, he was telling Solomon, "You're going to have to keep an eye on this man." David forgave Shimei, but he warned his loved ones against him. Does that seem right? Yeah, sometimes it does. The example I repeat so often is the Apostle Paul writes about Alexander the coppersmith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Listen to the forgiveness of Paul. He acknowledged that Alexander the coppersmith had done him wrong. Alexander was in his debt. He acknowledged that he was not going to take vengeance on Alexander or try to get back. He said, "The Lord reward him according to his works." That is, I'm not going to. But then he warned his son in the ministry, Timothy, against Alexander, "Of whom be thou ware," that means beware of this guy, "of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to intellectually forget what happened. Forgiveness does not mean the person has to come to you and ask for it. You can choose not to collect on a debt without them ever coming and asking for forgiveness. If they do, it's doubly good because you can give forgiveness and they can receive it, and two people are blessed rather than one. But you can forgive without ever them coming to you at all, or ever them talking to you at all. So forgiveness is not intellectually forgetting. Forgiveness is not them coming to you and asking for an apology. And forgiveness is not warning others against them doing something to them. Forgiveness doesn't include any of those things. Forgiveness is just someone has done you wrong. You acknowledge they've done you wrong and they're in your debt. You don't collect on that debt. And that's what David did for Shimei. Did Shimei do something wrong to David? Yes, he did. He comes out throwing dirt at him, throwing rocks at him, calling him a bloody man, calling him a man of Belial, and rejoicing that his son is out to take his life. I'll tell you, that's wrong. Did David get back at Shimei? No. Did David warn Solomon about Shimei? Yes. There may be times when you and I go through something similar. I hope not. I hope the chastisements in your life are few and far between. But if your life is like mine, one of the evidences you receive that maybe indeed you are one of God's children is that you get taken for chastisement from time to time. And it's severe and it's not something pleasant. But it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. And the reason that you bring forth any peaceable fruit of righteousness is that you are a recipient of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Amen.